in Genesis 11, verse 7, God says, let us come down and confound their language. So who is God speaking to? The fundamental belief of Judaism is that there's a one and only God. So who is Hashem speaking to when he says in Genesis 11, verse 7, regarding the Tower of Babel, come, let us come down and let us confound their language? This is a very problematic verse.
Yeah.
What is going on over here? The Gila 9a deals with this question. Here's a classic case. Why does the Torah write that, Ephraim?
Yeah.
It's a classic case that it is impossible to understand the written Torah without the oral Torah.
Yeah.
Purposely you have these verses that seem confusing and perplexing is to teach that there's another Torah out there, which is called the Talmud, the Torah Sheba'al Peh, and without it, we are lost in space. So what in the world does this verse mean that we read yesterday? In Genesis 11, verse 7, come let us go down. Let's take a look at the Sechta Megillah, page 9a. How the Gemara, the Oral Torah, explains this this perplexing verse.
How this question comes into Megillah?
We go to 9a2. We sech the Megillah.
Yeah, here we are.
Sechta Megillah 9a2. On the right column, Maisa B'Talmei HaMelech. There was a story with King Ptolemy. King Ptolemy is a Greek king. This is right before the Hanukkah story. You have it? In the middle of 9a2 in the right column. He gathered 72 elders of Israel and placed them in 72 separate houses. And he did not reveal to them what he wanted from them. He then visited each of these 71 rabbis, the elders of Israel, and what did he tell them? Write for me a Greek translation of the Torah. Yeah. So, Noson HaKadosh Baruch Hu Belev Kol Echad Echad Eitza. They had no SMS cell phones to communicate with each other. He told them to what? Write down the entire Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu all gave them the same Eitzah. How do you say Eitzah? Counsel. And all of them arrived at a common decision about how to translate various words in the Torah. Look at footnote 18, which if translated literally might anger the king or create misconceptions in his mind. So the rabbis made certain changes in the translation.
In Greek.
Yeah, Greek. And they translate it, right? So we'll take a look. For instance, they wrote for him, Elohim bara Bereshis. Instead of writing Bereshis bara Elohim, they wrote, God created in the beginning. Elohim bara Bereshis. Look at note 19. Rather than writing Bereshis bara Elohim, in the beginning created God, heaven and earth, for had they preserved the sequence of the original, the king might have misconstrued the Greek word for in the beginning to be the proper name of another deity who created God. Since one would expect the name of the creator to appear first in the verse. So therefore, they changed it, Elohim bara Bereshis, God created the beginning, so the king should not
be confused.
And they also wrote, Esa Adam B'Tzelem Edmus. God says, let us make man. Doesn't God say, let us make man?
Yeah, he said,
And they changed it when they translated the Torah into Greek. I shall make man in image and form. Instead of actually translating, Nasa Adam, let us make man, which could give the rise to the mistaken notion of several deities. So they said, I shall make man. So the king shouldn't think that there's more than one deity. He wouldn't understand the oral Torah. He's not interested in the oral Torah. He doesn't believe in the oral Torah. That God was consulting his bezin shel mala. That God was teaching humility. to take counsel even from people that are much lower than you. So God, so to speak, consulted the Pamaliel Shalmala, the Besdin Shalmala, the Heavenly Academy, even though he doesn't have to consult. But God was teaching humility, that even though you're a superstar and you're much brighter, you should consult your colleagues.
Yeah.
Give them the courtesy and the dignity to consult with them.
Mm-hmm.
But Ptolemy wouldn't accept any explanation, so therefore... What else? It says the Chal b'Yom HaShishi v'Yisro b'Yom HaShvi'i. He completed on the sixth day, and God rested on
the seventh day.
On top of A3. Right.
Yeah.
Why did they change that? Footnote 21, Rabbi Yaakov. Can you read that? Instead of what?
Instead of precisely rendering
Vechal
Elokim b'Yom HaShvi'i, as and God completed on the seventh day the work that He did, and He ceased to work. Ceased on the seventh day from all his work. Had they rendered this precisely, Ptolemy would have argued that the verse states that if God did work on the seventh day, he would have not accepted the explanation of the sages that this completion does not refer to actual work, but rather to the very institution of the Sabbath, which completed a world that had previously lacked tranquil.
So rest. God did create on Shabbos. What did He create?
Rest.
The concept of tranquility. Shabbos, which completed a world that had previously lacked tranquility.
That's the answer.
Right?
That's good.
But the Ptolemy wouldn't understand. He didn't want to know about the oral Torah. So therefore the rabbis had to bend the literal translation, which was really problematic, but they had no choice. Right? So it doesn't refer to actual work, but rather to the very institution of the Shabbat, which completed a world that had previously lacked rest.
Mm-hmm.
What else did they change?
Just to mention that the China people don't have a concept of a day of rest even today.
China, no?
No. I wrote a book about the man who was there. They have all kind of feasts and things. They have times of rest, but it's not a concept of a weekly rest. Still today they don't have that. No.
Ah. So, what else did they change? Zohar nekeva baro, v'lo kosu baram. The text says in Genesis, male and female, He created him.
What means?
God. It says, male and female, He created them.
He created them, yeah.
That's what the text said. But they changed it, male and female, He created him. But the Pasuk says, baram. Male and female, God created, the Pasuk says, them.
Baram, yeah.
But they changed it. The rabbis in the separate booths changed it to what? Male and female, God created him. And they did not write them as the original. Why not?
I don't understand the difference.
What do you mean?
Him.
Who did God create him or them? The first being, was it a him or a them?
It was a mixing of both, yeah.
But the text says, Baram. Male and female, God created them. But the rabbis in the separate rooms, they wrote, not to confuse Ptolemy, they wrote, male and female, God created him, and they did not write them as it says in the original. Why not? Footnote 22. Had they rendered male and female, He created them, Ptolemy could have misinterpreted this to mean that two humans had been separately created, each a composite of male and female. Therefore, the elder substituted him for them to make it clear that only one human was created. That human was a composite of male and female and was later separated into a man and woman. Wow. You hear?
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to our verse that we read yesterday.
Yeah.
God says, come, let us go down, and confuse their language.
Mm-hmm.
And the rabbis changed it to, come, let me go down, and I will confuse their language. Look at note 23.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, come, let us go down, and we will confuse their language, the Tower of Babel,
mm-hmm.
they what? Changed it to what?
I
will come down to avoid the charge that there's more than one God.
Yeah.
But God wrote it to teach humility.
Yeah.
that he's consulting with the Bezdin Shalmala. Does God need to consult with his angels? Of course not. But it's a message in life that a person has to be humble. Even though he's a superstar and his colleagues on the board can't hold a candle to him, he still must consult with them to give them the dignity, the courtesy, menschlichkeit, to consult with them.
But what is part of the answer is very simple to understand. That
yeah.
God speaks with him in a plural form, but when it comes to the action after, that's
yeah.
all the time in singular.
Yeah.
He's creating man and all that. And it's interesting that to create a woman, he didn't consult the heavenly court.
When it comes to the act of creation, it says God did it alone.
Alone, yeah.
Right.
But you speak
when it comes to the act of creation, it says God did it alone. That's right. Nahon? Yeah.
That's a very, very interesting chapter.
But each one, they had it in their minds to change it because the king did not believe in the oral Torah. Without the oral Torah, we don't know what's going on, right? Without the oral Torah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then I need to invite 70 wise men to translate.
You can the Sanhedrin guys, to translate the Torah.
20 people, that's enough.
No, it's the Sanhedrin. It took how much people on the Sanhedrin?
Yeah.
71.
Yeah.
70 with the president. He took the entire Sanhedrin. He isolated them and tried to catch them. Tried to trip them up. Now the end of the parashat that we read yesterday, that the Rabbi Yaakov mentioned, the end of the parashat, let's take a look that we read yesterday. We're working now with the Chumash and the Gemara. The best of the best, the written and the oral Torah, right? The end of the parsha that we read yesterday, wasn't that long ago yesterday. Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. I won't give up my day job. Don't worry. The end of the parsha that we read yesterday. Page 30. Page 30. Matir. You asked me about that yesterday. Please go with the Hebrew, Rabbi Yaakov. Okay.
Yeah.
The English confuses us.
Right.
Page 30, the Maftir. Vayikach Avram Menachar. Who was Avram Menachar? They were two brothers, right? Vayikach Avram Menachar lehem Nashim. Avram and his brother Nachar married women. Shem Eshes Avram Sarai. The name of the wife of Avram was Sarai. Vishem Eshes Nachar, and the name of the wife of Nachar. Who's Nachar? Avram's brother. Milcah.
Oh.
Milcah, she was Bat Haran. She was the daughter of Haran. Who was Haran?
His brother.
The dead brother. Remember the brother that died?
Oh.
Bat Haran. Milcah was the daughter of Haran. Avi Milcah of Avi Yiska. Haran also happened to be the father of Milcah and also the father of what? Yiska.
No.
Yaakov pointed out that Abraham and Nachar married their nieces.
No.
Correct? You can marry a niece. Marry their nieces. Who was Yiska?
Sarai.
Sarai. She had two names. Why was she called Yiska? Look at footnote Rashi Choftes. So both brothers married their nieces. The niece of their dead brother Haran, who happened to be the father of Milcah, the wife of Nachar,
and they took the brother
and the father of Yiska.
And Lot went with them.
And the nephew went along, right? Went along with the nephew. That means that Lot was a brother to whom?
To the two.
To Sarah. Right?
Wait a minute. Lot was
a brother.
Right, okay.
Lot was a brother to Sarah. Lot was Sarah's brother, right? Now, why was Sarah called Yiska? Look at Rashi Choftes. Yiska is a common name in Hebrew today. Yiska. Why was she? Look at Rashi. You have it, right, Kalam? Who Sarah? Yiska is Sarah. Why was she called Yiska? Al Shem Sesocha Buruach HaKodesh. Yiska in Hebrew means to gaze. She was a greater prophet than her hubby. Isn't that amazing? Rashi will say it again later. But she gazed with the Ruach HaKodesh. That's one reason why Sora is called Yiska. Yiska means the gazer. She gazed with the divine prophecy. Another reason, Shahakal Sochin Biyafya. Other reason, she was so beautiful, everyone gazed at her beauty.
Both.
She gazed with Ruach HaKodesh, and everyone gazed at her beauty because she was Miss Israel.
She's Miss World.
All right. Okay, now, Pasuk Lamed. Let's go to Pasuk Lamed, guys, in the text. Oh, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Please close the door. Is David Goodman here?
Yeah, he'll be back in about 10 minutes.
It's very important I speak to him. Can you tell him? Do you mind calling him?
He went to the row real quick. He'll be back.
But he's coming here.
He's already here.
But I didn't see him.
He's here.
Very important I speak to him. Page 30, Pasuk Lamed.
Why are we in Megillah?
Because the Megillah deals with a verse in Parshas Noach that we read yesterday. Vatehi Sarai Akara Eila Velad. Page 30, Pasuk Lamed. No, first one, page 30, Pasuk Lamed. You want to read that, Rabbi Yaakov? Page 30, Pasuk Lamed.
Vatehi Sarai
Akara, comma. Sarah was a barren woman. Ein lo velad. She could have no child. What's difficult about this verse?
Why does it say she could have no child? Why did it say that?
She said he was barren. Double.
There is no extra word in the Holy Torah. There's no extra letter in the Holy Torah.
Right.
If the verse says, Bati Sarai Akara, obviously if she's barren, she can have no child. You had a $64 question, right?
Yes.
Rabbi Yaakov, see any question?
Yeah.
What's the question?
It states the same thing.
Thank
twice.
You, Ephraim.
It seems to say the same thing twice.
I repeat myself, but the Torah never repeats herself. You had a question, Ephraim? He missed it. Pasuk Lamed, read it and tell me the question without me telling you. Page 30, Pasuk Lamed, by T. Sarai.
Akara Ein La Va Lat.
Sarai Akara, back, comma. Sarai was barren, infertile. Ein La Va Lat, she could have no child. What's difficult about that verse?
To be barren means already, so that's like a repetition.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Says the Talmud, it's not a repetition. Sometimes a barren, infertile woman has the equipment, but the equipment doesn't work. Sarah, not only was she barren, she didn't even have the equipment. Ain't law of blood, she didn't even have a bait blood, Nebuch. She had no womb in the normal. I mean, the inside, Nebuch, was missing. See, it's not enough to be a karat, bad enough. But not only is she a kara, ain't love a lot, she didn't even have the equipment physically to have a child.
She had no ovaries.
Now why did God do that?
Ovaries.
That's right. So it's not repetitious, it's not redundant. No. Why did God do that?
I'm sure that he's a boss.
She pray more.
So the miracle is even greater when she doesn't have the
good. Says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, more than that. God loves the prayers of the righteous and all that, of course. But to prove that the birth of the Jewish people was an impossibility on the Derech HaTeva. We do not play by the laws of nature. By the laws of nature, there never should have been a Jewish people. Mother Sarah not only was barren, ain't love Lot. She didn't have the equipment physically to have a child. It wasn't there. Other barren women have the equipment. It doesn't work. To magnify the miracles of Rav Tzadok HaKohen, that the Jewish people do not work under the laws of nature. We are lamala min ha-teva, because of min ha-teva there never could have been a Jewish people. Mother Sarah never could have had a child.
We work above the laws of nature.
To prove that we don't play by the laws of nature.
Right.
Don't try to push us into a box of teva. How do you say teva in
nature?
Nature. You hear what Tzadok HaKohen calling?
You know,
I was interesting in the Megillah here. It talks about Cyrus.
Cyrus Vance?
No, Cyrus.
Yeah. Okay.
That he could have done the whole temple, but the question is if Cyrus came from Esther?
No, Cyrus didn't come. Cyrus, don't mix me up. Cyrus was a Persian. Cyrus died suddenly and he left no heir.
No heir.
Who took over? Ahasuerus.
Ahasuerus.
He was the usurper. Some say that he was an adopted son of Cyrus. Cyrus had no biological heir. Some say Ahasuerus was the adopted son. Others say he was a stable boy and caused a revolution. But Cyrus died suddenly. He was very good for the Jews, but he died suddenly.
You know, with Sarah, it seems like whenever Shem gives you a strength, like she had this nubby prophecy.
Right.
He gives you a weakness to offset it, balance it. So she had no womb, yet she had these tremendous abilities over here.
Maybe have Ruach HaKodesh, my friend, Eliyahu. Rav Tzadik HaKohen, why was Mama Sarah barren for how many, 90 years? Other many reasons. God loves the prayers of the righteous and to prove that the Jewish people don't work. But there's 70 reasons for everything. So Eliyahu Fuller was just mechavein to a reason of Rav Tzadik HaKohen. 3 down, 67 to go. Oh. Write this down. Another reason why Mama Sarah was what? Barren. Says Rav Tzadik HaKohen. You want to know another reason? Turn to page 32. Turn to page 32. Pasuk Hey. This week's parasha, guys.
Bikach Avram.
Es Sarai Ishtoi, Ves Lot Ben Achiv, Ves Kol Ruchusham,
Asher Rechashu,
Ves HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Charan. And the souls they made in Charan.
No, no.
So was Abraham and Sarah shoemakers? So Rashi says, look at Rashi, hey, bottom. Asher Asu B'Charan. How do you make a soul? Shechnisan Tachas Kanfei Ashkina. You see the bottom
right?
Right.
Sarah was the sister of Lot.
That's right.
Right.
They were engaged in outreach. What's called outreach program? Kiruv.
Kiruv.
Avraham megayer tanoshim. Abraham converted the men. The Sarah megayer tanoshim and Sarah converted the ladies. Umalolav akosuf kilosam. When you convert someone, when you bring them to do religion, it's like you what?
Start fresh.
You make them.
Yeah.
Says Rav Tzadik HaKohen, Sarah was this tremendous kiruv. If she had little babies running around the house,
she wouldn't be able to do
changing diapers, she couldn't do the job.
Right. So she had a
so for 90 years she was barren because
right.
She was engaged not to be mafria. How do you say? Not to interrupt her kiruv work with little babies running around, changing diapers and giving formula and breastfeeding. Where would all the gerim come from? So everything has a cheshbon. God made it deliberately barren for 90 years because she was engaged in all of this kiruv work to bring lost souls back. And then she went on a new career, mom career. But first she had a career as a kiruv worker. You hear Rav Tzadik HaKohen? Now you know 3 reasons. The 67 other reasons that I don't know why she was barren. But there is, okay, so we discussed 3 reasons.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Really, when it comes to the thing,
you hear what he says.
Does it really matter why she wasn't barren? That's God's reason.
Of course it matters. But we have to try to fathom why God. We have to try to understand as much. Other religions don't allow you to question.
Right.
Judaism is different. We do question.
I know.
Sometimes we come up against a brick wall. But before we get to that brick wall, we are obligated to question.
Question.
If not, this is where idolatry starts. You can't question.
That's right.
So, you gotta test everything.
So how do you make a soul? I'm a soul man. And the souls that they made in Charan, even though Abraham and Sarah were not shoemakers, they made souls. Get it? So not to interfere with a kiruv work, Ephraim.
Yeah.
It's another reason why God kept her barren for 90 years.
Basically, she rectified the klipot.
Right. But let's go to the Gemara now. Why she was called Yiska, which is a common name in Hebrew today. Page Megillah, Masechet Megillah, page 14a3.
Left side.
The left side. The Gemara stated previously. You see that?
That 7 prophets prophesied to Israel.
Now, how many prophets were there in Israel? There were millions.
But only 48 prophesied.
48.
To the future.
48
right.
Are written, and 7 ladies.
Right.
Because the millions prophesied for their time.
Right.
The 48 and the 7 ladies prophesied for the year 2011, and therefore they're recorded. Who are the 7 prophetess ladies that prophesied for the year 2011?
Sarah.
I don't know they did. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in Tanakh. because there were millions of lady prophets, but seven prophesied for us. Who are they? Sarah, Miriam, Deborah, Hannah,
Abigail. She was David's
wife, one of his 18.
Wives, right?
Huldah
and Esther.
There's a Huldah's Gate. You go. That's where Glenn Beck had his meeting this year. Huldah's Gate.
Yeah. I got a question.
And Esther. These seven ladies prophesied for the year 2011.
Huldah?
How do I know? Otherwise, they wouldn't be in Tanakh. Get it? Huldah was a relative to Yirmiyahu. She was a great prophet lady.
Cohen, probably.
Well, that's what Yirmiyahu was a Kohen. That's right. If the same family as Yirmiyahu, she must be in a Bas Kohen. Huldah, and it's called Huldah's Gate, because therefore she would darshan. Thousands of ladies would come on Shabbos, and she would darshan for them. Shar Huldah, it still exists today, after 2,700 years. Okay, so Sarah.
Where did Sarah prophesy? Where is it at?
The Gemara is going to see. Where did Sarah prophesy? The Gemara cites scriptural. How do we know that each one of these seven prophesied for the year 2012? How do we know? The Gemara, is from Missouri. The Gemara doesn't take anything. Show me. Sarah, how do we know Sarah prophesies for today? The Siv, our Pasuk, Avi Milkah, Avi Yiska. The father of Milkah, the father of Yiska. Who is Yiska?
Sarah.
We just read it. Yiska, Zu Sarah. V'lama nikwa shema Yiska. Why was she called Yiska?
Because of her beauty.
That's one reason. Another reason is she'sachta b'ruach hakodesh. She gazed with the holy divine spirit. To gaze. Look at footnote 31. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
The word sacha in Hebrew means to what?
To look.
To gaze. Shenemar, koshatom lecha sarah shema bekola. All that Sarah tells you, listen to her voice. All that Sarah tells you, listen to her voice. This is what God told husband Abraham.
Maybe she had a special...
Another reason she's called Yiska, because everyone gazed at her beauty.
Mm-hmm.
She was a knockout. What?
Mm-hmm. She's a beautiful woman. All these prophecies were good-looking women. That's why people... But God made it that way because people would pay attention to them.
Oh.
And because of their beauty, then they were entrapped by their words and by their solstice. Soft-spoken words.
Yeah.
You know, women does it to us.
Yeah.
Nothing?
Uh-huh. Why was she so beautiful? And the Gemara in the Dorim says that God doesn't choose a prophet unless he's handsome, beautiful, rich, wealthy. Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because it's human nature. Who are you going to listen to? An ugly schnorrer?
Yeah.
Or a handsome, rich guy?
But what do you mean by rich? Not by money-wise, but
money-wise.
Rich.
The Gemara in the Dorim says that a prophet, in order that God chooses a prophet, has to be handsome or beautiful. If he's a woman, rich, regal-looking. Says the Torah Tamima. Why? Because human nature, when a guy speaks to you, who do you listen to? The guy looks like a nothing.
Like a schlub.
Like a schlub.
Right.
And he's poor. You know, they dismiss him.
Right.
But a person that's handsome, regal, beautiful, and he has money, people respect the wealthy man. If I was a rich man. When you're rich, they think you really know. So they have one reason why Sarah was beautiful. Why was she beautiful?
I saw that movie during Venice One.
And all these seven prophetess, the Tanakh goes out of its way, Alfie, that all of the seven prophets that prophesied for the year 2011, each one were Miss Israel. Why is that important? Each one were beautiful. Because they were prophets. And again, a prophet, in order to get an audience, has to be attractive. When a person is beautiful, you want to hear him speak. You hang on every word, right?
Correct.
So therefore, God's prophets were handsome and beautiful to make an impression, to draw an audience.
But people, you say beauty skin deep, so isn't they some of the...
But human nature is a person that's handsome and beautiful, you'll pay attention to. That's human nature.
Respect her.
That's why God chose his PR people to be attractive people.
You're not so handsome. No.
Who listened to Quasimodo? You know.
That's right. Well, Quasimodo. So the Talmud said here that Yiska Sarah was one of the prophets that spoke for the year 2011.
That's a good question.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be in Tanakh. There were millions of Nevi'im. Right, they're not recorded out because they don't speak for our time. We don't need history. The prophets that are recorded speak for the here and now. Now, you might ask me where.
Thank you.
This for me?
Yeah, just info when you go.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, when are you going to the States?
Chinookah.
You going to December?
Hanukkah, yeah.
I might be going also.
Really? December 18th.
I might be going also around that time.
By the way, it took Joel an hour and a half to get through customs.
Why?
I don't know.
He's been in America.
He said that in his email. I've heard the rabbi. He went home. He sent me an email. He said it took...
Or Specter. My job that I'm working for, they want me to start working full time in about a couple of weeks. Why not? I'm on Shmuel Bar Ilan, where all the Hasidic yeshivas are, all the Breslov yeshivas, all surrounding the store.
Yeah.
But look, man, if I'm going to start dating girls,
right,
I got to be stable right now. I've been here 10 years.
Right.
I'm pretty balanced. I'm with it, man. You know?
Yeah.
So I got to start working right now and start saving money. I have to.
You have to study also.
I promise myself that I'll make a good seder every day.
Yeah.
At least 2-3 hours.
Coupons for New Delhi.
So where did he get it?
Eluna. It's online.
It's only in Amic Rifoyim, right? It's only in Amic Rifoyim?
Whatever it says there.
Amic Rifoyim. We go sometime.
Maybe look, if I had millions of dollars, I would sit and learn all day, man.
Wow.
10% off.
Fantastic. You know, I'll keep them. Thank you.
Use it for whatever.
No, well, we have to do it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Very nice. Okay.
You're going to go to the States in December?
Yeah.
Hey, you come today.
Yeah. My stepfather's...
Where did we see that Sarah prophesied today? Remember we said...
Might win, actually.
That the prophets recorded in Tanakh prophesied for the here and now. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in Tanakh. Where did we see that Mama Sarah prophesied for the year 2011? Where did we see?
That's what I asked.
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Otherwise, it wouldn't. Let's go to the text and see where Mama Sarah prophesies for the year 2011. Now, if you're not going to see it inside out, you won't believe it. You have to go to the text. Otherwise, you won't believe it.
Where
Mama Sarah prophesies for the headlines of today's Jerusalem Post. Mama Sarah.
Yeah, you know that Gilash.
Abraham couldn't do it, but she did. She's a greater prophet than him.
Kind of big encouragement.
Let's take a look. So what's happening? They're still shooting rockets up East Park.
Yeah, they shot him yesterday.
Somebody was killed.
They shot him this morning.
All night.
Good. You know what? Now that Gilash out of Gaza.
Yeah.
Now they're going to go.
And they got excuses.
Right? What?
Has anybody heard the term carpet bombing?
That's how we need to do it. They shot 30 missiles since 6 o'clock.
Aaron still didn't come. Lost in space.
They
don't know the difference between what's right and wrong anymore.
Because I don't want them to get a hold of it.
That's the whole thing.
You know, it could be
just so warped. It's so warped.
It's 4 weeks.
They can't get the fishery. It
happened once before like that.
Yes.
But it was even better before. There you paid a lot of money for a special delivery.
Yeah, at least it went normal.
Here it was just regular mess. Figured it slipped through, right?
Right.
Those are kids or I got to this one.
They killed a guy that had four kids.
One person was killed.
Who did they kill?
Some guy had four kids.
Well, that's good.
Down south.
A Yiddish guy?
Yeah.
Abraham, that's good though.
Father, we get
the news this morning.
Guarantee you. I give it less than a month.
So let's see current events. Yeah. Let's see.
I wonder what happened to our anti-missile system. They said there was a glitch and it wasn't working.
Which country would allow the citizens to be terrorized, 1.5 million people, and we sit and do nothing?
Yeah, all the time.
Which?
So I'm not crazy.
Why doesn't our leaders learn Mama Sarah?
They're afraid of something.
What are you afraid of?
Because can I tell you some rubbish? Remember, just because there's a government in this country, you don't think there's bigger, higher powers that are telling them what to do, Rabbi Specker?
Take a look at page 57. You tell me it's not headlines
page
today.
57.
Mama Sarah. Here we're talking about page 57.
Like King's going to come eventually and tell them what to do. That's going to be the bottom line.
Let me see.
Page 57, Pasuk Yud. Maybe you send this to Joel. He can use it for his Russia next week. The Toymel Abraham. Sarah says, Abraham thought that Yishmael and Yitzchak can partition the land. You know that? Two states or two people. I'm not making this up. Abraham's plan, Alfie, was
divide
that Yishmael and Yitzchak divide the land, two states for two people.
Yeah. Well, not two states.
That's what Abraham wanted.
Well, yeah.
Not a joke. Read the text.
That includes Abraham.
That's what Abraham wanted.
Abraham.
He wasn't a communist.
But look what Mama Sarah says to him. She says, let me straighten you out about something.
Wait, say this again.
That's what she said. Abraham's plan was, he had two sons, Yishmael and Yitzchak.
Right.
Let's divide the land, two states or two peoples.
Yeah.
Who's Yishmael? Abu Mamzer. Yitzchak is us. Can we all get along?
Yeah.
But Mama Sarah, look what she says to him. See, women have a bino yeteda. Women have page 57 pasuk yud. This is where Mama Sarah is a prophet for the year 2011. Otherwise, she wouldn't be in the Chumash. Page 57 pasuk yud. Vatomel Abraham, and she says to Abraham, Garesh amazot et bina. Garesh, drive out, expel, Garesh, expel this slave girl and her son. Why? Ki lo yirash ben ha'am azois im b'ni im Yitzchak. This son of the slave girl is not willing to yarshin with my son Yitzchak. You say that Yitzchak and Yishmael will want to divide the land because two sons. Yitzchak is willing. But he, the ben ha'am azois, is not willing to yarshin with my son, my Yitzchak. He wants it all. You're living in a dream world, Abraham. Look at Mama Sarah talking to the headlines to the government.
You know why?
Because if you read the Hebrew, you won't get this. But you read the English, you won't get it. The Hebrew says, Ki lo yirash ben ha'am azois im b'ni im Yitzchak. The son of the slave girl, Yishmael, is not willing to share, to divide the inheritance with my son, with Yitzchak.
Well, let's
you hear what she's saying? Mm-hmm. Abraham, you're fooling yourself.
What does the English say?
I don't know what the English said, but the Hebrew says, look, Ki lo yirash ben ha'am azos im b'ni im Yitzchak.
That's by error. I don't have that with me.
Ki lo yirash ben ha'am azos im b'ni.
Lo yirash will not inherit.
He's not willing to inherit with my son, Yitzchak. He is not willing to divide the Yerusha. What's the Yerusha?
There's no willing.
But I'm telling you, that's the pshat. He is not willing because he wants it all. And that's Nebuchadnezzar of the government. They live in Abraham's fantasy world, that they think that Yishmael is willing to divide the Yerusha. And Sarah says, no, it's a fantasy.
Fantasy land.
Right? It's wishful thinking. He is not willing to yarshin. What's Yarshin? He's not willing to share the inheritance of the land with my son, with Yitzchak. So why are you fooling yourself? If only our fearless leaders would what? Listen to Mama Sarah's advice, how much Jewish blood would have been saved.
What's a widget?
Isn't that amazing, Mordechai?
Yeah.
Where Mama Sarah prophesies for the here and now. Yeah. 3,800 years ago. Abram said, no, two states for two people. They're both my sons. Let's divide the Yerusha. She says, Abraham, you're living in a dream world. And we see Nebuchadnezzar Sarah was right.
Yeah. But Abraham told to Lot, you go to one side, I go to another side. So he understood that with Lot, he had to separate the...
Yeah, but Lot wasn't his son.
Yeah.
Shmuel was his biological son. It's very painful to see the truth. He didn't want to see the truth.
Yeah.
Mama Sarah saw the truth.
Yeah, yeah. But
and therefore she's called Yiska. Yiska means she gazes into the future and she sees through all of the fluff, the hype.
She was like the old gypsy. She was a gypsy woman.
Yiska, page, take
four. She gave yours.
Sarah.
Here, here.
She gazes into the future.
Don't you remember? We read it yesterday. All my page 30, no? Oh. Go to page 30, Pasuk Chof Tes. Read it, my friend.
30
Chof Tes. Vayikach Avram.
30
Chof Tes.
In October, right?
No, in the Parsha. Page 30, Pasuk Chof Tes, Maftir.
Oh yeah, Vayikach Avram Benachor Lahem Nashim Shem Eishes Avram Sarai V'Shem Eishes Nahar Milka Aaron Avi Milka V'Avi Yiska Avim. Yiska means
she gazes. Rashi said, look at Rashi Chof Tes, thank you. Look at Rashi Chof Tes.
Yeah.
Now read. Right column. Why is Yiska? Who's Yiska?
Yiska. Zu Sarah Al Shem Shesoka Beruach HaKodesh.
Stop.
What's that mean?
She gazes with the divine prophecy. She looks into the future and she sees that Yishmael is not willing to inherit with Yitzchak. It's a fantasy dream. It's a dangerous wishful thinking. That's why she's called Yiska. She gazes into the distant future 3,800 years ago to see what's happening now. Abraham couldn't see it, even though he was a prophet. Rashi said that Sarah was a much greater prophet than Abraham.
No, most women are.
Much greater prophet than Abraham.
Most women were.
You know the cartoon of the Indian chief talking to Netanyahu? He says, Bibi, let me tell you about Land for Peace. True.
Indian chief, right.
The Indians know very well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, America got it piece by piece.
Page 32.
That kind of piece, yeah.
But I think America, something's going to happen to America.
We're at please, page 32.
We divide the three blocks.
Vayikach Avram es Sarai ishtoi ves Lot ben Achiv. Avram took his wife Sarah, Lot, the son of his brother. His nephew.
Okay, now we're on page
32, plus okay. That's called Vechushem and all of their possessions, Asher Vechushem that they possessed, as a nefesh as osu b'charan, and the souls that they made in Charan. Vayetzu leches arze Canaan. They went out to go to the land of Canaan. The Yavo Arts of Canaan, and they came to the land of Canaan. They came to the land of Canaan. That's what it says, right?
Yeah.
Now, when did the time is Abraham had the hay?
What? But that's later on.
But why?
That's later on.
Now, when did they exactly? How did he get the mayor of adding the hay to?
We'll see. We're not there yet. Stay tuned.
It's Parsha, though, right?
It's the end of the Parsha. So Rashi asked the question, how do you make a soul? We discussed that, right?
Yeah.
So Abraham and Sarah converted people to the true religion. What's the true religion?
The
belief that's Noahidism. There was no Judaism, Alfie. The true religion was Noahidism. There was no Judaism.
Right, believe in one God.
They could to keep the seven go to heaven.
Right.
Right? Outreach. So what happened to all of these gays? Thousands. What happened to them? Go ahead. Yeah, what'd you say?
Noahide laws.
Go ahead.
Are not listed like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're not listed in the top.
You look in Masechta Sanhedrin page 57 and 58.
Yes.
Sanhedrin 57 and 58, Alfie. The Gemara goes through Genesis 1 and shows in the Psukim what God is speaking to Adam and Noah, how the Oral Torah extracts the seven Noahide laws from God's conversation with Adam and Noah.
And that's in
Sanhedrin 57, 58, and 59, where the Talmud analyzes Genesis, the conversation that God has with whom?
Adam and Noah.
With Adam and Noah, later, how the Oral Torah extracts from the word to seven Noahide laws.
I have a question for you.
But Abraham was not a Jew, he was a Noahide. Right? Plus he had number eight, the eighth mitzvah, to be done on the eighth. What's the eighth mitzvah given to be a human being to be done on the eighth day? Brit Milah. So he had seven plus one, Abraham did. The eighth mitzvah given to a human being to be done on the eighth day. So the Medrash wants to know what happened to all of these guys. So after Abraham and Sarah died, the Medrash says Nebuch, they went back to India.
Yes.
They went back to
Far East.
They went back to the Getchkes. They went back to the Getchkes.
Which is India.
What's the word? Are they relapsed?
Back. They relapsed.
Nothing's left of them. When Yitzchak is around, it's Nebuch Yitzchak. Just Yitzchak. They're all gone. They're all gone. So what good is it? So Rav Amnon Yitzchak, you heard of him, right? The great tzaddik, Rav Amnon, he was here. Remember he was here? Rav Amnon Yitzchak.
Amnon Yitzchak, yeah.
You know, remember he was here?
Yeah.
There was a luncheon for him.
Right.
How many years ago was that?
It was a while ago.
How time flies. He came in his uniform.
Yeah.
What a tzaddik. So he asked this question. Why does the Torah give eternal credit to Abraham and Sarah for making these converts when it didn't last? Why is Abraham and Sarah get eternal credit? That's the question that he asked.
These, by the time he shocked, they were all gone.
Why?
The Medrash says, when Abraham and Sarah died, all of these converts abandoned the movement, and they went back to Getchke business.
They still taught. They still did.
So what good? Why is the Torah giving eternal schar to Abraham and Sarah?
Because they made the effort. To
That's Avraham Yitzchak's question.
And he said, but it
all didn't last.
Doesn't matter. But the point is, they made the effort and stuck it in their head.
He asked this question about himself. He said,
what are one of the converts? Buddha. Was he one of the converts?
I don't know.
No, Buddha came around.
But once you came around,
much later.
The end of the second temple period.
You weren't here. So he said about me. He spoke about himself.
How was he here, Rabbi?
He was here. I don't know how many years ago.
Buddha was around.
Time just flies here.
Buddha was around.
I've been here almost 7 years.
1700 years ago.
Never saw him. He came in the uniform.
Right after.
So he asked this question, please, regarding himself. He says, when I have a rally, thousands of people come, right? People come with the ponytails, you know.
Who's it?
Avi Yitzchak.
Yeah.
He speaks to a lot of people. People not religious at all. And then after he speaks to them, they come up and they're really moved. And he has a scissor on the table. And he cuts off their ponytail and he gives them tzitzis and tefillin. And says, and people ask me, but the next day they'll take off the tzitzis and the tefillin. Does it have any value? Now they're moved because he's a good speaker and they're turned on.
Yeah,
and he gives them tzitzis and tefillin. But he says, I know a lot of them. Tomorrow, next week, they'll stop putting on. What does it have any value?
It's never too late, because once you do that first act later in life,
Rabbi Yitzchak said, the Torah is testifying that I have the right way. Because even though it won't last, you'll always have that magic moment. Abraham and Sarah made converts even though it didn't last. They're immortalized forever, Alfie, because if you get a person to put on tzitzis even once, or tefillin even once, even though he'll never do it again, that magic moment is captured forever. That's to your eternal reward. Whatever he does the next day, even though he stops, it'll never cancel the one time he put on tefillin. They'll never cancel the one time that Abraham had these guys acknowledge the one true God. They stopped worshipping Getchkes for one day. It has value. It has meaning. Even though tomorrow they'll relapse, it won't cancel today. For the guy that, for the person that did the mitzvah, and the person that got him to do the mitzvah.
So, in other words,
supposed to be punished for the Aveira later, but it won't cancel. That mitzvah that he did, even once, will live forever. And the Aveiras later on will not cancel that mitzvah. That's why the Torah gives eternal credit to Abraham and Sarah.
And the guy that got the mitzvah, if he, in the moment before he dies, refutes God and everything else,
so
he
that got guy the mitzvah, in my boots.
What then will God count that mitzvah as a point towards his whether he's going to be going to go in heaven or not?
Maybe he won't be in hell as long.
Alfie, you're asking a very good Takasha now.
No.
You're asking a very good Takasha. A person does a mitzvah, and he just does it once. and he does averis, he'll get punished for the averis, but the mitzvah that he did, even once, he will get reward for that mitzvah. The aver, no amount of averis can cancel or neutralize a mitzvah.
Right.
The mitzvah that he did has eternal value. Of course, he'll get punished for the averis, but the mitzvah he'll get rewarded. So don't say, he'll never put on tefillin again. What good is it to get him to put on tzitzis once? He won't do it again. No. Even if you get a guy to do a mitzvah once, it has value, it's chashuv,
it sticks to your soul forever.
And it sticks to your soul forever, and the guy who got him to do that mitzvah will also get eternal reward for that, even though later on the guy will relapse. And that's why the Torah says about Abraham and Sarah that they made these souls even though they relapsed after Abraham and Sarah died.
Well, you learn about the mitzvah to kill.
Guru Gil told me, I said, he puts tefillin for 20-something, 30 years now, not the...
Right.
How many have you done?
I mean,
about 30,000.
Wow. Show him this verse. I won't do it. The Marnim won't do it. Show him this verse and tell him what I said, Mommy.
Kind of like tipping the skills between averus and mitzvah.
Doesn't matter. You get a guy to do a mitzvah once, it has...
Eternal value.
It's like somebody does 50 averis.
Infinite value.
And he does that one extra
mitzvah. He'll be punished for the averis, but that mitzvah can never be taken away from him.
Right.
That's the message of the Torah.
What about a goy? Can it be taken away?
No.
Or is he just given on earth?
Wherever. That mitzvah has value forever. That's what they're saying.
Right. So they... Somebody like Hitler, he took care of his mother, I'm sure, did something.
So he got plenty of reward, didn't he?
In this world,
he was a chancellor for 12 years, what?
So he got in this world.
Al Capone, I mean...
Because you're like Kiev Avaim, Stalin.
Stalin was good to his mother, right?
Also good to his mother. Did you ever notice that all the... he has a single mustache. All the crazy leaders all have mustaches. Who's the last one right now? Assad. You know what he has? He has a mustache, looks like Hitler.
Assad.
All the crazy fanatic leaders
had
single mustaches.
Right, that's right. Why is it something about it?
I would not say tongue
much. Macho. Macho man.
Stalin, right? Hitler? Yeah.
Hitler, Assad. I saw the video when they captured Gaddafi. Oh, it's horrible.
You saw it?
Did to him?
Oh, they beat him to death.
They shot him, boom, killed him right
there. Saw the execution.
I saw my friend.
Yeah, we saw it too.
Can you show it to me?
We saw it to me.
Yeah?
I don't know what's
like. Isn't that what they did? Isn't that what they did to Mussolini?
Something you should see.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a film where they kicked him down the street. Just kicked the body down the street.
And then they hung him up for...
They have the execution on TV.
My friend knew where to go on the internet and got that clip.
What, would they actually shoot him in the head?
Yeah. It's horrible.
That's why he has one surviving son who's trying to surrender himself to the Hague, to the
Metro
Court.
Yeah, that's right.
He's trying to get out of Libya, and he can't.
He knows they're going to kill him, too. Right?
Oh, yeah. He wants. He'd rather be in prison than the Hague.
Yeah. Someone said, first of all, said he's a Halachan Jew or something like that?
Some say his mother was Jewish. Who knows?
Who? Oh, Gaddafi?
No, this is barbaric. What is this killing? What's
right
this? This is not a North guy law.
But anyway, let's learn. Let's learn over here. Like let's
give
learn.
Give him a fair court.
Anyway, let's move over here. God says, Lech Lecho Me'artzecho.
Oh, you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah. Lech Lecho Me'artzecho. Rashi has a question, Ephraim. Page 31. Pasuk Gav. Yom Hashem El Arvav. Lech Lecho Me'artzecho. Leave your country and your birthplace and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But Rashi has a question. Wait a minute. You already left. Look at page 30. Mm-hmm. Look at page 30. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Page 30, Lamed Aleph. Vayikach Terach as Abram Benoit. Terach took his son Abram. Ves Lot Ben Haran. Ben Benoit. His grandson Lot. Right? Vesarai Kalosoi and his daughter-in-law Sarai Eshes Avram Beno, the wife of his son.
Why did Haran do this?
Vayetze Itom Ur Kasdim. So Terach already left. Ur Kasdim. Lechas Arze Kanan. He left Ur Kasdim to go to the land of Canaan. Vayevo at Haran. But for some reason he stopped in Haran. Vayeshu Sham. He changed his mind. He had left who? Terach, the father, the patriarch of the family, packed up his family, left Ur Kasdim, and the Torah testifies his game plan was to come to Pisgah Zeb.
Why?
Because Terach was a great man, and he knew that there's Kiddush over here. You think Terach was a slouch?
No.
He was a great man.
He's an idol worshiper.
But he was a great man. Well, you think Abraham is a son? He was a great man, even though he was an idol worshiper. He was a great man. Yeah. And he knew there's special spiritual vibrations over here. For some reason, he got bogged down in Haran, sidetracked in Haran, and he remained there.
Terach
did. But look at Pasuk Aleph. Terach's game plan was to make Aliyah.
He wanted to travel with Avram his son?
Well, read Pasuk Aleph. Vayikach Terach as Avram ben
Ol. He would have kept Avraham.
Let's read.
We want to know.
That's what we want to know. First, let's read the verse. Terach took his son Avram. His grandson Lot. Sarai Kalosai and his daughter-in-law Sarai, Eshes Avram Beno, the wife of Avram. They ate to eat them. He went together with them. They Ur Kasdim. He left Babylon. Ur Kasdim. The Torah testifies that the plan was for the whole family with the patriarch Avram. Patriarch Terach, Lechazar to Canaan. For some reason, Ephraim, Vayavo at Haran. For some reason, they stopped. Haran was a way station. For some reason, Terach did not want to continue. Vayeshvu Sham. Something changed his mind.
God's will.
And he remained in what? In Haran.
Do you know why? Because he would have kept Avraham doing what he had to do.
So let's see. Rashi deals with this question. Why did Terach stop in Haran? The Torah says that his game plan was to go to Kiryat Moshe. Ramot. So why did he stop in Haran? Rashi will deal with that.
Go ahead. Wasn't Terach angry at Avram for smashing those idols?
Okay.
He was in travel with
him. So I guess they reconciled.
He handed him over to Nimrod to be killed.
I guess they reconciled. The family's always having quarrels.
When he didn't get burned in the furnace, he goes, ooh, let's go.
Right. They probably went to a family, a counselor?
I think when he didn't get burned in the fire.
Families have their ups and downs.
They went to family therapy.
God did not give Terach a command.
He on his own.
Because we said Terach was a great man. You think he has a son like Abraham by Koinky Dinky? If Avram was okay, he has a great man. He felt that a certain spiritual vibration
that in
Ur Kasdim. For some reason, he got stuck in Haran.
They felt that didn't he have a same name?
Israel,
son named Haran.
Canaan was the place.
Yeah. Didn't he have a son also named Haran?
He had a son named Haran Haran. Don't mix up. Haran is the name of a place. Haran is the name of his son.
Sounds the same to me. I don't hear a difference.
It does. Yeah.
Ches.
Hey, Haran.
Haran.
Hummus.
Haran.
Maybe he was old.
He couldn't make the journey. For some reason, maybe he ran out of what?
Steam.
Ran out of steam in Haran, and he stayed there. Where did God's command come to him? Lech lecha me'at. He already had left. That's Rashi's great kasha.
Oh, right.
He already left. Yeah. So look at Rashi, page 32.
Also, the point that it looks like it later that Avraham left his father behind.
Mm-hmm. He did leave his father behind.
I was under the impression too.
But in the earlier verse, it looks like his father took him with.
Rashi's going to deal with these questions.
Let's
take a look at Rashi on page 32. Me'artzecha. See Rashi, right column, 1, 2, 3, 6 lines down from the top, Me'artzecha. God says, leave your country. What's Rashi's question, Abba? You want to read?
Ba'alo, kavar yatsa misham, im aviv va'ad haran.
What's the question mark there?
He already left.
He left with dear old dad. Mm-hmm. He already left with dad. And he came to Haran. What is God saying to him?
Ela kach amalo.
This is what God is saying to him. Hisrachet od misham. Move away from Haran. B'tzevi beis avicha. You have to abandon your father's house. So it's God's plan that Terach should get stuck where?
In
Haran. Because God wanted for some reason that Abraham should abandon his father.
He wanted Abraham to be the patriarch.
He wanted Abraham to be the patriarch, not to be under the influence of the pagan, Terach. So disengage from your father.
Right.
Your father will remain in a nursing home in Haran, and you have to come to what? To Kiryat Moshe.
You know what?
So his father would have had a relapse in Canaan.
Maybe found some good.
His father will be a bad influence on him.
He would have had a relapse.
You have to leave your father. He's a bad influence to Abraham. You cannot become who you have to be if you remain with your father. So you have to disengage and leave your father's house. I'll leave him in Haran.
Rabbi Shpeker.
Yeah, go ahead.
Terach, though, he knew something that was special about Avraham.
Terach was a great man.
He knew Avraham had to go and do what he had to do.
Well, his other son,
you know what I mean?
Aram, was
right.
The greatest magician in the world.
How do you know that Terach was a great man? Take a look later on in the parasha. I'll prove it to you. Page 38. Not dismiss Terach lightly. To have a son like Abraham, to have a granddaughter like Sarah,
Rebecca.
Right? He had to be. Let's take a look
Yitzchak,
over here. Let's see what they're possible over here. One second. Yeah.
Gimel. Even the guys like Eleven and
right.
And the magicians, the black magic,
yeah,
draw from him also.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, they were the greatest in whatever they accomplished.
Page 40.
Leaders.
They're greater than Bill.
Look how the Torah describes death.
I think they were.
Look how the Torah describes death, Alfie. Page 40, Pasuk Tezvav. God is speaking to Abraham.
Isn't Bilam or Balak one of the two from?
No, some say that
Bilam comes from Laban. Page 40, Pasuk Tezvav.
Okay, so that's from him. Man.
Or actually, was Bilam.
Page 40, Pasuk Tezvav. God is speaking to Abraham. You have it or you don't?
The door.
But page 40, Pasuk Tezvav. You have it, Alfie?
The door really.
I said Tezvav. Ba'ata knew Abraham. Tavoy el be'evatecha. You will come to your fathers. B'shalom. How does the Torah describe death? Ba'ata you tavoy el be'evatecha. You will come to your fathers.
In heaven.
B'shalom. In peace. To kaver, you will be buried b'seva tova in a good old age.
Yeah. So you will
come el avosecha. You will come to what? El avotecha. When you die, you join your deceased relatives in the afterlife. This is the source. You will come to your fathers. So Rashi has a question. Look at Rashi over here, Avram. El avotecha. I'm reading 1-5 lines up from the top. Down from the top. El avotecha. Hear this?
Yeah.
Where's Rashi? No, read Rashi.
Aviv.
Avodazarah.
On the top, right?
Terach was an idol worshipper. What kind of good tiding is it? You're going to join your pagan father in the afterlife. What kind of good tiding is that? What's God telling him?
When he dies, he's not a pagan anymore.
From here we learn that Terach did tshuva before he died. So where is Abraham now? In the same mechitza with what?
With
his Abba. Can you imagine they're together forever? There are many mechitzas up there. You know,
why do you have to leave?
Box seats, grandstand. Mm-hmm. Terach did tshuva.
Before he died.
After you're dead, you can't do tshuva.
Right.
That what? That Abraham is now together for eternity with his father. That his father did such a tshuva that he's in the same mechitza with what? Can you imagine?
That Abraham convinced him
Chuba,
that he's a body in heaven.
But he did it. Before he died, he accepted Abraham's advice. Terach did tshuva. What's the Terach tshuva?
Well, I think just one thing I heard him do would have done that. When he smashed all his idols up. And
okay, so it took him some time to sink in.
Yeah.
Maybe a little thick.
Now, can you imagine you break all your eyes, come home.
It took him some time to sink in. Right?
Now Nimrod, Esau killed Nimrod, right?
Right. Now God said you'll be buried b'seva tova, in a good old age. You see that? This week's parsha, guys. What do you mean buried in a good old age? Look at the next Rashi. You have it? To cover b'seva tova. You see the next Rashi or you don't?
Bishro,
God gave him a good tiding, Sheyase Yishmoel Tshuva B'yamav, that Yishmoel will do also, not only his father will do tshuva before he died, but his own son Yishmoel will do tshuva while Abraham is still alive. Abu Mamza did tshuva. V'lo yetze Esav v'tar b'sro b'yamav. Esav will not become a disco on Saturday Night Fever boy while Abraham is alive. Lefikach meis chameis shanim koidim zmanoi. Therefore Abraham died 5 years before his time.
Right. This Esav, you want to see Esav going crazy?
Not to see Esav what? Night fever, disco boy.
Like a bad person.
Right? In the day that Abraham died, Esav became what? A rebel without a cause.
Yeah.
So that's the good old age. His father will do tshuva, his son will do tshuva, and he won't see his grandson become a bum. And therefore, God cut 5 years off of what?
Abraham's
life, so he should not see his grandson become a rasha.
So
what about in the afterlife?
Maybe Ishmael had done tshuva before. Maybe Abraham could have helped him.
Could have helped him.
No.
I guess he tried. What?
No, he just gave up.
He gave up. I don't know. God cut 5 years. Can you imagine to take away 5 years from Abraham's life to spare him the anguish of seeing his grandson Arasha? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? But 5 years Abraham could have accomplished?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what Abraham could accomplish in 5 years? And God cut away 5 years of his life to spare him the anguish of not seeing Esav become a rasha.
He could have maybe gotten 5 years Esav to do tshuva. Who knows?
It just shows you the Arabs still have hope to do tshuva.
Rabbi, if Ishmael would have done tshuva when he was younger, then the land would have been divided.
They will.
The problem is that Ishmael's descendants don't want to do tshuva. That's the problem.
Yeah, but
his descendants.
But you know
they're much worse than him.
In time, they're going
to have his descendants are much worse than him.
But Sarah
wouldn't have got no choice.
Sarah looked into the future, saw that Ishmael's descendants, there's nobody to talk to. Speaking not about Ishmael, speaking about his descendants.
His descendants.
There's no one home. There's no one to talk to.
The thing is, a lot of Arabs today are so mixed up and inbred.
Yeah.
There's no true Ishmaelites out there anymore.
Ishmaelites.
And there's no soul. Spirit.
But it's a different ball game eventually, right?
Now, why did we have to remain in Mitzrayim for how many years?
210.
So everybody will say because of what? Why were we to
Ishmael? I mean, from Esau? No.
But why do we have to remain in Mitzrayim 210 years?
It's connected to give the Canaanites another chance to make tshuva, to give them...
Look at the next verse.
Wait for Moses to be born.
No, look at the next verse.
Right. He made a pact.
God says we're going to go down and be enslaved in a country not our own, and only going to come back Dor Revi. Only the fourth generation will come back. Look at page 40 plus Isaiah.
Abraham made a truce. He said, I won't do anything to...
Now let's see. But Dor Revi Yeshul V'Heinu. Only the fourth generation will come back here. Ki loy shalem avon amori ad heinu. Because the sin of the Amori will not... The cup will not... The toilet will not overflow. Amori is the Canaanite nation. Their sin, their cup will not run it over until Dor Revi. So the Yidden had to be stuck in Mitzrayim waiting for the toilet to overflow. Well, look what Rashi says over here.
But didn't Abraham make a covenant?
Let's see.
Kilo Shalem Avon
Amori. Let's see what Rashi. Dor Revi. Lachash Yiglu Mitzrayim. After the Yidden were exiled to Mitzrayim, Yosham Shlosha Dorot. They had to remain there how many years? How many generations?
Four.
Three. For Ravi and the fourth generation, Yeshuvul Eretz Hazot.
Then it'll be free.
Only the fourth generation is permitted to what?
Come back.
So Lefi, why? Lefi Sheba Eretz Canaan, Hoyim and Davi. Where's God speaking to him? Land of Canaan. V'chores brus. This is the bris bein apsarim. This is the covenant between the parts. Kiddushiv. Lo says l'cha, to give to you, as oretz hazois l'rishta. V'chein hoya. This is what happened. Yaakov yored Mitzrayim. Now, figure out. Say v'chashov. Doroysav, Yehuda, who was Yehuda? Son of Yaakov. Peretz, the grandson. Chetzron, the great-grandson. How many generations of Ephraim?
Three.
The Kalev, Kalev, the son of Chetzron, he came to Eretz Yisrael.
He's the one that hopped in the nut in the
Kalev, he came to Eretz Yisrael. No, no.
He's one of the few.
He hopped he's the one that hopped in the Red Sea.
No, Nachshon. Kalev, but Kalev, he is the fourth generation, and he came back.
But one of the few.
Nachshon, you're Dor HaMishi.
Most of them died. 98%.
So what are you saying over here? So look at the next Rashi. So we had to be stuck in the Cairo slime pits because look at the next Rashi, Alfie. Kilo shalem avoyna amoyri. Listen to this. This reason people are because the sin of amoyri is not complete. Liois mishtaleach me'artzat oisuzman. The Kanani, the amoyri is a generic name. They were not deserving to be kicked out of their land ad oisos man. Until what?
Up to this
until
time.
This time of the fourth generation from Yaakov. Why? She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra me'uma. God never punishes a nation ad she'tismala sa'ata. Only when the toilet overflows.
Right, that happened on Nabal.
So why do we have to suffer? Because their toilet didn't overflow until the fourth generation. We have to remain stuck in Cairo this line.
But he didn't kick them out, Rabbi.
He kicked them out. Yeshua ben Nun kicked them out. Yeah. God's agent.
No, but we didn't destroy.
Why not earlier? Why do we have to remain 210 years? Well, we had to wait until the toilet overflows.
But we had to wait until we were prepared as a nation.
But Rashi doesn't say that.
We were instructed.
But Rashi doesn't say
everything. Rashi is saying something else.
Rashi didn't say everything.
No, but
he would have had double, triple the amount of paragraph right there if he would have said
there's
everything.
A lot of
each
reasons.
Answer stands. You're right. There are many reasons, but each answer stands on its own.
We subdued them, Rabbi.
How do we explain this answer, Alfie? Of course, there's 69 other answers, Ephraim, why we had to remain in the slime pits for 210 years. But each of the 70 answers has to stand on its own. And this answer has to stand on its own.
Yeah.
We had to bide our time waiting for the cup to run over, because before that, the Kanani didn't deserve to be kicked out of his Gadzev. God never punishes a... But he doesn't say that. I'm telling you, we have to deal with the answer that Rashi says. And
So had it taken 500 years, God would have found another Moses.
So let's say the cup wouldn't run over for another 900 years.
Yeah.
So we remain in Egypt another 900 years? That's what Rashi's implying, guys. This is a very, very perplexing Rashi.
Okay, I got a good question.
Don't mix in other teretz. There are many other, but each teretz has to stand on its own.
I got a good question for you.
Maybe they help.
We were in Gullus.
Rashi's implying if the cup didn't run over for another 400 years, we'd have to remain another 100 years.
Rabbi Shpector, we're in Gullus.
What does Rashi mean? It's hard.
We're in Gullus. We were in Gullus.
I don't know. I'm asking you.
We're in Gullus.
That's what Rashi's implying.
We're in Gullus for 2,000 years, right? So we came back to Israel, what, 1948?
Yeah, because until then, the Arabs didn't, deserve to be kicked out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you have to say.
Looks like, yeah.
So 2,000 years.
Rashi is not history. Rashi is the message for today. Why could the Eden not come back till 1948? Because until then, the Arabs didn't deserve to get kicked out until 1948.
No, but we were doing a tikkun. We had a job to do. We're going to get all the kedusha, all the sparks from all over the world.
Again, that's another reason. But each reason has to stand on its own.
No,
you give me other reasons. How do we learn Rashi? Rashi has a message for us.
Moses had to be...
That whatever happens is a cheshbon. Right? There's a cheshbon, whatever happens. Nothing happens by chance.
Right.
It's all figured out.
It's all like a puzzle. It's
all figured out, right?
They all fit together.
Perfect timing of Hashem. He knows this.
So only Kalev, the fourth generation, he could come back. Peretz and Chetzron couldn't come back because the Kananani sins were not yet overflowing. Why do I have to suffer?
That's right. Why do I have to suffer?
Why do I have to suffer in Mitzrayim?
Well, you didn't have to say you're suffering. We could have been down there.
We could have been. We could have had.
Rabbi Shbrecker, do you know that we're in the fourth generation now since 48 now?
We're the fourth generation since 48?
Are we?
No.
A third generation.
Third.
So it's the same thing with the...
Yaakov went down. His son Yehuda, grandson Peretz, Chetzron, the great grandson, and Kalev, he came back. Mm-hmm. What did Abraham do? Did he bargain? No, he went to war. No. Page 36.
That was just his son Lot. His nephew.
Yeah. Take a look at page 37, Pasuk Yudalid.
When did the Arabs
understand? Page 37, Pasuk Yudalid.
Power.
Top of. Vayishma Avram kinishma ochiv. Avram heard that his brother was taken captive. His brother means his relative. Yeah. So what did he do? Did he negotiate? Vayorek eschanichav yilida beisa. He drafted all of those people. And he had a large retinue. Is that the right word? He had a lot of people. Shmona osa shloish meos. So he mobilized 318 of his household. The Yirdof Adon, and he chased them until now.
But Rabbi, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
he was a wealthy man. Why didn't he just try and buy him back?
Why didn't he? See that? He went to war.
He went to war. He had the money to
free his captive.
Uh-huh. He could give him a few thousand head of flock and mm-hmm. give my son back, but he didn't.
So he went with 318 men.
He went for a reason.
And he defeated them, and he freed his what? He freed his nephew. And all the other prisoners. Right?
This is one of the seven Noahide laws. Kidnapping.
The kidnapping, yeah, that's right.
It's capital punishment.
Nahon, nahon.
You went to take care of punishment.
Yeah, nahon. Yeah.
It's the same thing with the Arabs. It's a capital punishment. You kidnap someone. They're grave consequences. And anyone who doesn't...
So let's start here. Page 737 to Zami. Yosef Eskol Rechush, he returned all the possession. Because they also took all the possession. Vaygames Lot Achiv Rechush Shoheshiv. He also returned his brother Lot. Brother in the Bible means relative. And all of his Lot was a wealthy man. He returned all of his possession. The Gamas Anoshim Esom. And he returned all the captive women and all the people he returned.
I ask you a question. Why were they taken captive? Why weren't they just...
Why were they captive? Because they were wealthy. Why the prisoners of war?
Why didn't they just kill them?
Why did they kill them? I guess they're holding for ransom. They were holding for ransom.
Slaves.
So Abraham did not negotiate. He went to war. He defeated the aggressors and he freed the captives. So the IDF could have done that, like in Entebbe, no?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they do it? I don't know. Couldn't
media
do it.
Pressure.
Because of America.
Couldn't do it.
Media pressure.
Yeah.
Back then, they didn't have to worry about the media back then. They did what they had to do. That was it, man. No questions asked.
Yeah.
No, but they walked with a ship.
Yeah.
A ship?
No diplomats back then.
No diplomats, no ABC news reporters.
But, Rabbi, just because there's only a few Arabs that kidnap them, because the rest of the Arabs don't try and get them back, they're all guilty.
Uh-huh.
They're all now
Abraham is punished over here. One reason why we had to go into exile, said the Talmud. Because look what the king of Sodom says to Abraham. Page 37, Pasuk Chav Aleph. Page 37, Chav Aleph. Ayoyme Melech Sodom El Avram. The king of Sodom, these captives were Sodomites.
Yeah.
10 Lihan Nefesh, give me back the souls. Rechush Kachloch. And the Rechush, what does Rechush mean?
Possessions
you take.
God.
So Abraham agreed. He gave back the souls, and he didn't want to take any money either. So the Talmud takes him to task. Why are you giving these people back to what? To the king of Sodom. Why don't you try to rehabilitate them? Make mention out of them. Why do you allow them to go back to what? To Las Vegas.
Yeah, because
you shouldn't have done that. And that's one reason we went to Mitzrayim, says the Talmud in the Dori, because Abraham should not have agreed to return these captives back to Las Vegas. Imagine, he could have straightened them out, make mention out of them.
But you know what?
But he didn't do it.
When there's so many of them, he was afraid they were going
to... They would have owed allegiance, but they would have owed their loyalty to Abraham. They might have changed their lives around. Why? What right did Abraham have to give them back to that pervert, the king of Sodom? And therefore, that's one reason we had to go...
He is afraid that his new conflict would be affected by these people.
Maybe he was thinking that.
That company corrupts the morals.
Okay. But
it's one if you work on one or two at a time.
Nefesh, okay.
Three or four. But to bring hundreds or a thousand in.
Yeah. He was afraid of that. Yeah. But He was punished for it.
That's why bad company stay away.
He wasn't right? stupid. This guy's a brilliant guy.
Tanli Anefesh. Look what the King of Sodom says in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. You have the bottom, Rashi? 37, left column. Chaf Aleph. You have it? Tanli Anefesh.
Yeah,
Tanli. V'nashvi sheli sheitzalto. Give me back my people. What good is a king without people, right? Hazeli agufim lavada. Just return the bodies. You can keep the booty. You can keep the booty. Just return my people. Otherwise, what good is a king without a...
You're not a king. You're not a people.
Right.
No, but
so Abraham agreed. And they went back to their perversions. They went back to their perversions. So did his own nephew. Can you imagine that?
Back to his own way.
Probably why he wanted to go there.
Right,
I know these guys pretty well.
Yeah.
Hey, this is pretty good.
They went back, and Avram doesn't want to take any money. Either he gives back the people, he gives back the money, except he says, I don't want to take nothing from you. Because I don't want to be in your mouth, he says on page 30. I don't want you to brag that you made Abraham rich.
Why but Abraham didn't say, all it is in God's hand, and he took Lord, and he's in captive, and he has to make it tikkun in the enemies.
Yeah.
And just to leave him there.
Leave whom there?
Lord in there with the...
Leave his nephew there?
Yeah.
Well, the
he
Jews
made
are,
it all in God's
hand. Said he made it
it's bad. All in God's hand. The Jews are in Auschwitz. Leave them there. It's all in God's hand.
He could have said,
Shalit is there. Let him leave him in God's hands.
He could have said, I worked
no,
on all these
No, we have
years.
To be God's partner.
I worked on them all these years.
Right? God
he,
works
he
for
left.
Human agents.
He left.
So, people make mistakes. He's still his nephew.
No, but did he have the right to...
And he risked his life.
All his men?
So he risked his life to free his nephew.
And all his men's lives?
So what do you see?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Entebbe.
Entebbe, yeah.
Bibi's brother fell in Entebbe.
One man they lost, yeah.
Bibi's brother.
Where is it that they stole one Jew?
Benjamin.
I mean, kidnapped one Jew in the Torah. One of the... No. Somewhere they took one.
Yeah.
They took one prisoner.
That's later on by Midbar. They took a slave girl captive.
And what happened there?
And the Jews went to war again
right.
to free her. That's later on in by Midbar.
Where, the Jews, I wanted the one, to use that, but I didn't know
remind
where.
Me tomorrow.
Where is that?
Remind me tomorrow in by Midbar.